Who believes God's on the move? Who wants the more? Who wants to pay the price? There's a few truthful people. Most of them said no, kept their hands right there, put them in the pockets. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is, whatever the title of it? What do you call a soldier when he's been at war and he gets hit? What's it? He's wounded. Wounded soldier. So I'm talking about wounds this morning. A wounded soldier. A wounded soldier. I believe it's a word in season that we've got to mature in Christ. Amen. A lot of things we go through, we blame the devil. But the reality is a lot of what we go through is because of my disobedience. Amen. Most of your fight is against you and your will. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. We'll go from verse 16, yeah. Oh, look at that. It's up there. This is a messianic prophecy. Jesus was speaking about himself. He went to the temple. It amazes me sometimes when you read the word and you... Jesus got the book and he found where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. As if Jesus had to find it, you know, I mean, he is it. But let's read it. So he came to Nazareth where he has been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." The King James will say those who are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was declaring, "Who you are looking for is me." That's what he was saying. Who you are waiting for and looking for is me. There is five foundational ministries in this one passage on Jesus. Five foundational ministries that Jesus declared who he was. And I'm just going to quickly run through them. Salvation is number one. He said, "Preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim acceptable year of the Lord." That's the salvation scripture. Today is the acceptable day. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. So he was declaring, "I'm salvation." He was then declaring something about baptism. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." So there's an anointing for everyone that he requires to baptize us in. "Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Then he started talking about healing. He said, "Recovery of sight to the blind." Amen. Then he spoke of deliverance, to proclaim the liberty to the captive. Then he's talked about emotional healing, and that's what we're going to talk about today. An emotional healing. So the recovery of sight to the blind can be both physical and spiritual. But emotional healing is healing the brokenhearted. Anyone ever had their heart broken? Healing the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, or the New King James, or the King James says, bruised. Bruised. Internal bleeding. Amen. Internal bleeding. Broken literally means this. It comes from the Greek word suntrio. You can go to the next slide, sweetie. To crush, that means to crush, that is to shatter. Literally, break into pieces, broken into shivers, like you break a piece of glass, like you throw a piece of glass down, and it shatters everywhere. Broken. Heart literally means this. Comes from the word cardia, which we get our word cardiac from. Literally means the heart. And bruise comes from the word astreo, to break, to shatter, by internal calamity. An internal calamity. And a lot of Christians are walking around with the effects of a broken heart and still bruising. And even though you mightn't be able to see the bruise, there's a tenderness to that spot. Are you with me? Now I'm going to deal with two strongholds that attach themselves up to a broken heart and bruising. Two strongholds. Who understands that you're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age? Two strongholds that attach themselves to, and I'm going to talk about one for brokenhearted and one for bruising. But the good news is this. He came to set me free from that. He came to heal me from that. He came to deliver me from my past and my pain. Amen. So I can walk into everything He has got for my life. But I sometimes have to come to an acknowledgement that it's there, that it has to be dealt with. And I'm talking this year about the year of the family, and we're going to talk mainly about families, marriages. Who knows in a marriage a person can have a broken heart? Even in a marriage. Sometimes by mistrust or abuse or whatever the circumstance. There's a myriad of them. But a person, whether male or female, can walk around with a broken heart, which brings a disconnection. Amen. Or they can be bruised. They can be bruised. Can I tell them what happened this week? Is that all right? Which one? You know, about the, you'll never talk to me? Is that all right? Okay. Like, for instance, this week. Do you know when you're just in that place? You're just in that place where you never do anything right. I mean, you just wake up and you're wrong because you woke up wrong. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in the shopping center, in the car, Johnny in the back, Matilda in the front, great morning, enjoying myself. And this person, I won't say what sex it was, this person was blocking all the traffic to get out because she. They are waiting for someone to pull out to park. But this person that's pulling out to park, I don't know what they were doing. They were texting, picking their nose. I don't really know what they were doing. But it was irating me more than it was irating the person in front of me because I couldn't move. And there's a queue outside waiting to get in. I'm waiting. Someone's behind me waiting. And this person in the car park was just, I don't know what they're doing. They were doing something. Eventually they move and the person pulls in. All these people are waiting to move. Now my wife had already told me at least three times, let them in. Mind you, they've got to give way to me because they're in a give way sign. So being the good Christian I am, I went, yeah. Then I accidentally took my foot off the brake a little bit. Do you know, just a little bit, just to move a little. She says, you said you were going to let them in. She chewed me out. Yeah, it was bad. Of course, me being the holy, righteous, spiritual one, chewed her out back. I
heard you, I said. I heard you. Don't have to keep repeating it. I have heard you. Anyone ever spoke like that before? Yeah, don't put your hands up. You've been watched. I've heard you. She says to me, I'm never ever going to talk to you again. Something inside me jumped. I went, for the rest of your life. Something inside me jumped. I went, for the rest of her life. But quickly I had to tame that back down. I didn't say anything. So she's not talking to me. And of course I'm not talking to her. For the rest of her life. So we're driving home. And all of a sudden I said, this is so nice. To myself. You don't say things like that out loud. Do you? Gets home, Matilda walks in, she's doing her stuff, you know, she's always doing something. And God said to me, I hope you're happy. I said, I haven't done nothing. She's the one that said, you ain't going to talk to me for the rest of my life. He says, now go and give her a kiss. So she's sitting there moping. You know how they chew. You know how you, come on. You know how they chew out. They're chewing it. They're like a piece, like a cow on chewing it, chewing on it. So I walks up to her and I go, I give her a big kiss, and she, I got a reward. And then she says, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. You know, get it back, get back to normal, and everything's cool. But I'm saying all that because this. Sometimes, when you allow things to escalate, you lose the position of your authority and your power. And what you're doing is you're minimizing your partner. I'll rephrase that, your spouse. I don't like that word, partner. Your spouse. Amen? And what God expects of us, is to bring reconciliation into the house. Because unity, the Bible says, commands a blessing. But in John 17, it also says this, Father, let them be one as we are one. Is that what it says? Right? And the glory that you have given me, I have given them, straight after. There is a glory in your unity. There is a glory in your unity. There is a level of glory God pours out upon a couple, I'm talking marriages now, that are in unity. The minute you step out of unity is the minute you're stopping the flow of the glory and the blessing. God will not bless sin. The stronghold that primarily comes out with a broken heart is a spirit of rejection. When my wife said that to me, I'm not going to talk to you, rejection. Straight away, I'm at fault. And so what happens is, this rejection, if I allow it to breed, will have a root system within me that will cause me to mistrust. Its aim of the spirit of rejection is to break relationships. Whether a marriage, whether in children, whether husband, daughter, husband, a father, son, it wants to break relationships in our lives. Because what this does, what if I allow this rejection to come into me and stay there, it wants to prove itself right. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm not going to do anything until you do your bit. And so what we've done, we've paid a price, and all of a sudden, what's happening in my home, I've opened a door for the enemy to have a go. Are you with me? Whatever the cost, If you really are a follower of Jesus, pay the price. Pay the price. Humility is one of the greatest gifts of the Spirit. When the prodigal son came back to the father, there was three areas of humility he had to go through. He came to himself and realized he was wrong. He humbled himself. He went to his father and humbled himself before the father. Then he said, I'd rather be a servant in your house. So then he now a publicly humbling that his servants would have known that this is what he's prepared to do. Humility will restore you. Pride will reject you. Amen. A stronghold of rejection gathers around a broken heart. If rejection is not surrendered and healed, it can become a stronghold in one's life. It doesn't immediately become a stronghold, but if I allow rejection to stay there, whether through relationship with husband, wife, or whatever, brother, sister, it can become a stronghold over me. It will not just affect the immediate relationship, it will affect other relationships. Amen? And you gather a place of mistrust in your thinking. Hallelujah. Are you with me? A stronghold that primarily comes in with a broken heart is a spirit of rejection. God is saying, turn with me to Numbers 14:34. I know it's not up there, but Numbers 14:34. And I'll quickly tell you what it means. It's when Israel was constantly in rebellion against the will of the Father. And it says that he literally rejected them. What he was saying is, if you reject me, I'll reject you. And I'm going to cause you to walk for every day you didn't go in. I'm going to cause you to serve a year in the wilderness. Are you with me? Let me turn there. Deuteronomy 14. No, sorry. Numbers 14. Sorry. I forgive you. Numbers 14:34 says this. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year. So how long did they go in the wilderness for? 40 years. Namely 40 years, and you shall know my what? My rejection. Turn with me now to, in Jesus' name, turn with me now to Hosea 8:3. Just before Joel. It says, Israel has rejected the good and the enemy will pursue him. When you reject the wisdom and the words of the Lord, and me and you, reject what he's doing. It says, the enemy pursued him. I opened the door to the enemy. I opened the door to the enemy. God will not honor disobedience. God will not honor disobedience. What God was saying is, because you have rejected my ways, you've opened the door to the enemy. There are five emotional strongholds. There's actually more, but I'm only going to go through five because that's all we can do. Five emotional strongholds that come from a root of rejection. Five, at minimum. Five emotional strongholds. The first one is anger. Anger, when people go into a rage consistently, when something isn't going right. I'm not talking about one time or two times. I'm talking about on a consistent basis. You're getting angry. You're flying into rages.
consistently using, and usually it's from the spirit of rejection. You defend your place. You defend your rights. You defend them things. 1 Samuel 15:26 says Saul was subjected, rejected by God. God rejects Saul. He rejects God. He didn't walk in his way, so God rejects Saul. Is that right? In chapter 19, it says a distressing spirit came upon him. Now, I want to say something that might shake you a little bit. That distressing spirit was from the Lord. In fact, it's mentioned something like 663 times in the Old Testament, this word, that means distressing. 442 times, it's translated evil. An evil spirit. You're saying God can't do evil. No, he doesn't do the evil. What happens is the door's open and he allows that thing to do to have its way, just like it says in Corinthians 1, that says, hand their bodies over to Satan that their soul might be saved. What happens is God allows things to happen, so we end up in a place where we cry out to God to repent and get back right with him. Amen? God will use anything to get me right. Second one is pride. These are all the emotional strongholds that come with rejection. Pride. Prideful people usually take a lot and need their opinion heard. They want to be heard a lot. They want to be the voice. They interrupt all the time. Their pride. They want recognition. With pride. The third one is insecurity. Now we're going to touch a little bit on this. People who need constant reassurance or constantly needing acknowledgement. Insecurity causes a troubled mind and a lack of self-worth and the inability to love or accept love fully. They find it hard to love themselves. They find it hard to forgive themselves. It causes suspicion in them. Their reasoning is if they're not able to love and accept themselves, how can someone else do it? So there's a constant suspicion. They lack trust. They're insecure. And if we beat and brow our spouse, we can get them in that place of insecurity. Where what will happen is they'll say, I forgive you. And I want you to hear them words. They say, I forgive you. But inside there's a reservation. Because if it's a consistent thing in their life, what happens is they reserve themselves. Because they have a broken heart. Ain't mended. They want to do the right thing. But they have a just-in-case clause. A just-in-case clause. And so this spirit of rejection gets around them and all of a sudden this relationship here isn't happening the way it should be happening. So they go into other relationships, of friends, and it's the same thing. This root of rejection's got around their spirit. And God wants to heal the brokenhearted this morning. Amen? God wants to heal the brokenhearted this morning. This is where most backsliders fail. And you can say, well, hey, I was one for 3 years, totally backslidden. And what happens is I become suspicious and insecure in God, and I can't trust people. Therefore, no matter what you say to me, I might say yes on the outside, but inside I'm questioning. Insecurity brings independence. Instead of being one, we live separate lives. Instead of being one, they're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing.
get home. Hey, how are you going? Good. Yeah, small talk. Independence because of past rejection. And they want to be alone. Anyone been in a situation where your spouse or your son or your daughter, and all they want to do is be alone? I was probably the greatest culprit of this in my life. I enjoyed me, myself, and I. I would say I love you, but inside, I don't trust you because of a broken heart. Because of a broken heart. So independence is a past, independence is a part of rejection, and it wants you to cause you to stay alone. It can affect marriage relationships independent of one another because rejection has got around a broken heart through insecurity or unforgiveness. The enemy robs the couple who are to be one of a level of glory. Remember I said that before? There's a level of glory being one. And God releases through unity. And you can read that in John chapter 17, 11 and 22. But who understands that the devil comes as an angel of light? And this is what happens. That word comes as an angel of light, as an image of an angel of light. It's literally masquerade. He masquerades. He puts a face on. The Holy Ghost is my comforter. Is he not? But when there's division or when there's a separation in a marriage, a false comforter comes along who agrees with you how you feel. And then he quickly reminds you of last week's problem that you're supposed to have forgiven them of. He's a false comforter. He'll say things like this. They disrespected you. And do you remember last week when they said this and they're not doing it? So they're comforting my soul. They're comforting my attention, my needs, my pain. Yet the Holy Ghost will comfort me in things like this. Get over it. Surrender. Love on them. The false comforter will say this. You're right. They're wrong. You have rights. You deserve to be happy. He comforts my rights and my arguments and brings up stuff the offender has done in the past and what they have said, even though you might be the one that has said, I forgive you. You've said, I forgive you. I'm going to hammer this morning. You've said, I've forgiven you. Turn with me to Matthew 18, 34. You've said, I've forgiven you. Matthew 18, 34. Are we getting anything? Good. Here's a story of the unforgiving servant. He was forgiven of 10,000 talents by the master. In today's terms, that is $52 million. In today's thing, that's $52 million. He was forgiven. He cried out, he was forgiven. You are bought with a price. This same servant was owed a debt of 100 denarii, about 20,000 bucks. He threw the guy into prison until he had paid it in full. The master heard about it. and said, "You wicked servant, I forgive you this much and you can forgive them that much?" Then he says this in 34. His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. The master delivered him to what? Who delivered him? The master. The old King James would say tormentors. The tormentors. He delivered him up because he refused to give. And here's the dilemma. Verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you. Do what? Hand you over to the tormentor. Just like he did to Saul. That if you do not, Father also will do to you if each of you from where his what? From his what? From his heart, not his mouth, forgive your brother. It's too easy to say things like, "I forgive you." But you're not forgiving from the heart. And that some Christians go, hear me, that's why a lot of Christians are in this place of torment. Because they've said things, "I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you." But they walk away still in their heart, unforgiven, and they're broken. Their hearts are broken because they refuse to give their broken heart to the one who can heal them. They'll say the right thing, but they don't do the right thing. It has to be a heart issue, forgiveness. Does it mean I forget? No. But what it does mean is the pain with the memory is gone. And so often, even in a marriage, "I forgive you." Yet inside, most of the time you're saying it to shut them up. "Yeah, I forgive you. Let's move on." I see a few people smiling. At least we're honest. But it has to be a hard thing. It has to be a hard thing. So before I say, "I forgive you," I get before him and say to him, "Please forgive me. Please forgive me." Because the last thing I want to do is to be held back by a tormentor. I don't want to go day in and day out and week in and week out justifying my way and justify because the tormentor, that false comforter is whispering in my ears about my rights and my will and my whatever. I've got to get before him and say, "God, heal my broken heart. Heal my broken heart." And this is where a lot of us, if you've ever experienced being prodigal, and I think every Christian's been prodigal one way or another. All prodigal means is wasteful living. We've all been prodigal in some form or another in our life. Wasteful living. It doesn't mean they're any less than me. It just means that they're in a place of hurt. They're in a place of pain. And what I've got to do is get to that place where I am healed so I can minister the healing. Amen? Are you with me? The last one. The last one. Easily offended. You know, some people you can't say, you're on eggshells with them. You don't know. Some people, all you can say to them is, "Hello." Because if you go any further, you're going to get it. I remember my wife years ago, bless her heart, was at the door. This person, we won't tell you the sex of this person. This person, this person walks in. My wife greets her with a hug. She goes, "How dare you hug me? How dare you? I don't know you. How dare you hug me?" My wife got really hurt. It bruised her. The following week, the lady comes. So my wife doesn't hug her, and she's hugging other people. The woman comes up to my wife and says, "Why haven't I got a hug?" Now, me being the husband, steps in. I says, "You're not getting a hug because I don't know whether you're Arthur or Martha. And I don't think you know if you're Arthur or Martha. So we're not giving you anything until we know who you are." But unless you deal with things like this, unless you allow the Lord to deal with brokenness, what it does, it allows that spirit of rejection to get around your soul, and you become mistrusting. You become standoffish. You can become all those things, easily offended, held back because of what offense has occurred to me before. I can't go into the other one. I'm running too late. But the bruises are internal bleedings from calamity. He was bruised for my iniquities. He suffered that bruising on my behalf. And bruisings are tender spots where, yes, we've probably forgotten about issues, thinking time heals. Well, I'm going to give you a real clue. Time does not heal. The only healing that's available is in the person called Jesus Christ. So we deal with bruises from people's words, people's stuff. Even in my own house, you can be bruised. And all of a sudden, we'll say, "Yes, I forgive you." We'll say it, but it has to be a hard thing. Therefore, it will take you time to get aside with Him. Say, "Lord, heal my broken heart. Heal my broken heart." And out of that healing, I can minister to the one who's offended me. Yeah? I really felt I needed to talk about this morning, because if you want to grow, we have to deal with things. And sometimes they're very personal and private things. But I need to deal with the brokenhearted and the bruises of life, because they're not going to go away by themselves. I need to fess up. I need to take it to the healer. I need to say, "Jesus, give me a new heart. Heal my heart. Fix my bruise." So I can be that instrument in this hour that can minister to the broken. How can the brokenhearted minister to the brokenhearted? If I'm truly being healed of my brokenness, I can take him to the one who's healed me. I can't fix them. I can only lead them. Amen? I'm going to ask you to do something this morning I've never asked before. I want us to stand this morning. Right where you're at, with your eyes closed, your heads bowed. I want you to ask the Holy Ghost to bring things to your remembrance, even if they're current or non-current. Say, "Lord, is there any brokenheartedness in me? Any bruise that I need to overcome? Any memory that still causes pain? Any memory, take me on. Help me. Help me this morning. Help me this morning that you might heal my broken heart. you might heal my broken heart. Help me this morning that you might touch the bruise in my soul, that I will walk out of here healed and whole as you've made me, that I then can be a minister of that healing to others. I can't ask him for you. You have to ask him, is there any area in my life of brokenness, brokenheartedness? Is there any memory that brings a pain? Then I'm going to pray. I really feel as a people of God, we need to move on and move into more greater things than what we've even experienced. If that's you this morning, you just lift your hands before the Lord. No shame. There's no shame in Christ. None at all. No shame. If you need that healing, you just say this prayer after me. Father, I submit these memories and this brokenness and this pain to you. I ask you to heal me and give me the capacity to captivate these thoughts to the authority of Jesus Christ. I choose now by the act of my will to forgive from the heart those who have broken my heart or bruised my soul. I ask that you take this place, you fill this place in my heart and my soul. Father, I believe that you've healed me. I believe I am set free. And I thank you, by the power of your Spirit, I can truly forgive. I receive that, and I thank you for that, that you came to heal the brokenhearted. You came to set the captive free. I receive that healing in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, shout amen to him. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God. When God does something, he wants to heal you body, soul, and spirit. Amen. He doesn't do half a job. He does a complete job. Now you walk out of here with your head held high. There is no shame in Christ. Hear me, there's conviction, but there is no shame in Christ. And remember, every time you forgive, you have to do it from the heart. It's not words. Amen? God bless you. Have a good week, successful week in Jesus' name. And now the battle for the soup begins.